Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, titled Principalities and Powers, Watching and Learning. If you have not already been able to follow along in our Ephesians studies, we invite you to watch our free video and listen to our free audio studies covering every verse of the Epistle of Ephesians by simply visiting our website at bbfohio.com and looking for our Ephesians playlist. You will also find our studio studies of the book of Genesis, as well as our previous BBF studies in the Gospel of Mark, and our ongoing study of the book of Revelation that has been going on for several years, and we are now coming to the last two chapters of the book of Revelation in that study. All of these studies are available free of charge at bbfohio.com. And if you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com. That's three B's, bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. You can address that to Bible Believers Fellowship, BBF Ohio, Pastor Greg Miller, any of those on the address label, along with P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now let's begin our study in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, titled Principalities and Powers, Watching and Learning. This is part 1.
Right. Principalities and powers, watching and learning. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. It will be a very interesting study, at least in my opinion. The goal of our Bible studies, again, is for you to learn things that can help you in your daily walk with the Lord. And I just always have to, as your pastor, to remind you that you should be in the Word of God every day. And you should talk to the Lord every day in prayer. And what we're here to do is to encourage you in that walk. Churchianity is not biblical Christianity. And too many people are playing churchianity where they go to church on Sunday and then the rest of the week they're just practical atheists. They're not talking to the Lord. They're not reading His Word and listening to the Lord. They're not thinking upon the Lord. They're not telling others about the Lord. And that's what the Christian life is. So, we will begin in verse 10. Do you have your Bibles open? And as you're getting that open, just as a way of introduction, what we're about to read, Paul was given a dispensation of the grace of God, we talked about, by revelation of the mystery of the body of Christ, was made known to him. It was a revelation to Paul, and now it's a revelation to all of us as we learn it. And he now seeks to make this mystery known to all men, because that's what God's will is. And so we pick up in verse 10, read there. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Amen?
Amen?
Now, what some of you just experienced is what we're trying to help you not do, and that is, some of you probably just read and didn't even get what you just read.
No.
And that happens when you read at home, too, because, you know, we're human. Happens to me. There are times I do a lot of audio, and sometimes I'll read and listen. Sometimes I can't read and listen, so I'm just listening, and I'll realize I haven't been listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I'll go back, and I got a little button that goes back 30 seconds. I'll hit that two or three times, sometimes five or six times, and then go back to where I actually was listening, pick up again, and it happens to all of us. But even studying Ephesians, even studying whatever book you're, you know, there's a difference between reading and studying. How many of you know that? And even in studying, sometimes you just read over something.
Yeah.
From what we just read, did you know that God is teaching in heaven?
Amen.
How many of you thought about that? God is teaching in heaven. And look.
Wow.
We're the object lesson. Yes. It says, we just read this, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known. The principalities and powers in heavenly places don't know something. And God is teaching it to them. That's part of the reason God's doing what He's doing. He's teaching in heaven. Now, do you realize God is the only all-knowing being who will ever exist?
Amen.
So just that fact, it makes sense that every created being that is created with intelligence has something to learn. Because they're not all-knowing. Here's the part that really gets wild, because how many of you ever sat down and just thought about the fact that God had no beginning? Just, if you've never sat and thought about that, you ain't lived yet. Because, you know, this is part of what I like to do too, is conscious of your existence. So many people seem to be just going through life. And it's like you become conscious of your existence the more you get to know God. Because you start to realize this God is, wow, incredible compared to anything I know. He knows everything. He can't learn. He can't be taught. He knows the beginning from the ending. And He's eternal. Make sense of that in philosophy class. Amen. God is the only eternal being, and He's the, I mean, without beginning or ending. And He's the only all-knowing being that will ever exist. Ever exist.
Amen.
We will learn of Him. Let this sink in. We will learn of Him for eternity.
Amen.
No matter how long you've been in heaven, you still don't know everything about God.
Amen.
And no matter how long you've been in heaven, you will still learn of Him. We could just stop right there and just sit down and think. No one would have to say a word for the next 20 minutes. Of course, the people on the internet would be like, what is going on? That's the way the Quakers did it. Did you know that? The problem with the Quakers is they didn't really go by the Word of God. They just kind of listened for thoughts and things. But Quakers, they'd go to church, they'd just sit there and then be quiet. And then someone would say, I have something to say. Well, that's not biblical. But we could do that. But Charlie would run it. He'd say something. It wouldn't be a few minutes.
Me too.
Oh, yes. See, everybody's got their, you know, purpose. God is the only all-knowing being who will ever exist. That just, to me, when I first sat down and really meditated on that, it was right up there with the fact God has no beginning. He's always been here. That makes no sense. I'm just being honest with you. It makes no sense. But it doesn't make sense that He wasn't always here either. try, you know, fathoming a world where God had a beginning. What was before that? Because He's pretty big. And it's got to be something bigger than Him that bring Him in. And if God's not eternal, we're not here. Which is where they go when they start trying to figure out God with that kind of stuff. That's where a lot of the stuff you're reading in the religious section, that's where they got it. They didn't want to believe the Bible, but they knew philosophically some of these things had to be true. There has to be an eternal something. So what is it? If you don't believe it's God, Amen. That's what, folks, that's reality. You read, I can tell you, we could list off names and you know where they got their big wild thoughts and everything. Ooh, they're so deep. They ate mushrooms.
Amen. Amen.
Not the ones at Kroger or all Fresh Time. I'm talking about the ones that grow wild that they pick, and you better only eat a tiny little bit or you'll die. And they eat a little tiny bit of mushroom and they have these trips. And they come out of them saying all this wild stuff. This guy named Bill Hicks was a comedian. Or at least he thought he was. He wasn't really funny. He was always just ripping Christians and everybody. But everybody wondered what happened to the guy, because he was funny, but then he became like just a constant philosophical kind of guy who would be funny because he was so mean and rude, really. And little did people know until right toward the end of his life, where he told everybody what happened to him was he started eating mushrooms. He was born and raised a Southern Baptist.
Wow.
But he saw hypocrisy and that sort of thing. And so he decided he wanted to look elsewhere. He started eating mushrooms, and suddenly, and there's a video out there that's been viral numerous times. It's All Just a Ride by Bill Hicks. And if you listen to that, it's a total contradiction of Scripture. And where did he get it? He got it with shrooms.
Right.
And where did he go off? I believe a lot of these guys go off when they think about God, but they won't believe what God says about Himself. And once you go from the Bible, it's anywhere. Verse 10 continues, "...to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known, as we read, by the church..." The manifold wisdom of God. Meaning it's by the church that He is teaching them. Why? Because the mystery involves the church, the body of Christ. There are seven mysteries. We went over those once before. But two of the mysteries are the incarnation and the body of Christ. The fact that we are all one new man. And also another mystery is how that we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Despite the bad teaching out there, that never happened. Before Pentecost. Before Pentecost, men were not permanently indwelt by the Holy Spirit and weren't sealed unto the day of redemption. That started then, and it was a mystery to the prophets who talked about it. Jeremiah talked about it. It was a mystery to them. They prophesied about it. They didn't really even understand it. Think about this. Principalities and powers in heavenly places are watching us. And there's various reasons. One of them is because they are ministering spirits and that they actually have tasks. How many of you remember Jesus talking about all these little kids? He said, you better watch it. Their angels are always before the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Angels have jobs to do. So they're aware of what's going on in the earth. They know what's going on. And they're watching us. And the end time church is showing the angels this. The Methodist Church just elected their first openly lesbian bishop.
Oh, dear. Oh, yeah.
I never thought that was.
Wow.
Well, 100 years ago, if you told the Methodists then that the Methodists today were going to do this, they would have burned their churches down.
Yep.
They wouldn't even allow the churches to go on.
Amen.
They would have realized that they had something wrong, and that was Nicolaitanism in their denominations. People say, well, Baptists go into apostasy too. Yeah, but they go, there's two things. They go away from the King James Bible, and they stop being Baptists.
Yeah.
Now, understand me. We don't make a big deal about the Baptist name because it's become a joke. But the reason I talk about the Baptists is because they're biblical. The Baptists are based on the Bible, and the Bible says that the local church is to be independent and autonomous.
Amen.
We're not supposed to have bishops and superintendents and all these popes coming in and telling everybody what to do in the local church.
Yeah.
If you stick to the King James Bible and you don't get away from the local independent autonomy of the local church, you don't go into apostasy.
Mm-hmm.
You can't show me one example of it happening.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? You go to any church that has an unbiblical government where somebody outside the local church rules. These Methodist churches, their preachers, they serve as long as the bishop tells them to serve there, and then when they want them to go somewhere else, they just send them packing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's that in the Bible? It's not in there. And the Episcopalian and the Presbyterian and the Lutheran, they all do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you get away from that, but it all starts when you get away from the King James Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it starts. That is not what God had in mind.
Amen.
But somehow He's actually using that to teach angels, too.
Yeah.
The true body of Christ is used by God to make known the manifold wisdom of God. So my guess that what we just saw, the lesbian bishop, God showing the manifold stupidity of man. But in the true body of Christ, He's demonstrating His wisdom. Now watch this, verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. See? He is teaching. I'm going to simplify it here, but this is the reality. He's teaching you what we have learned when we study dispensations. That's what He's teaching. He's teaching His plan of the ages. He's revealing, as He does to us, He's also revealing the plan of God to angels. See, why is there a difference? Because there's a different starting point. We were talking about perspective. Talking about your point of reference. Being an angel, you're created without a sinful nature.
Mm-hmm.
You're created immediately upon creation. You have eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a free will. So there's the similarity. And an angel can choose to rebel, and if they do, they're eternally unsecure.
Yeah.
And they are damned forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm kind of glad I'm not an angel.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Huh? Well, she's a sweetheart. See, when we see this thing here, this chart, we call it this chart of the seven biblical dispensations. That's God's plan of the ages.
Amen.
Starting in eternity past, He had a plan for us, for earth. And He created man, Adam and Eve, put him in the garden. And He said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, at another point, another created being, not a human, but an angel or angelic being, a cherub, named Lucifer. He had a free will. And Lucifer decided he wanted to be like God. And he set his heart on it and said, I will be as the Most High. And God cast him down. Now that happened before this. And then, when He put Adam and Eve in the garden, Satan, who at the time is Lucifer, he comes into the garden and he changes the Word of God.
Yep.
You look at your NIVs, your New American Standards, and all those, you understand that they came from corrupt texts by corrupt translators.
Amen.
And the people who pushed them for money. The love of money is the root of all evil. And they pushed it for corrupt reasons. And they are corrupting the words.
Yeah.
And that's why you have lesbians in pulpits.
Amen.
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 It all comes back to the corruption of the Word of God. And Adam and Eve fell because of the corruption of the Word of God. And Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then Adam ate. And then sin entered the world, and that's been what is behind this entire plan of dispensations. And what we have learned in our studies is similar to what the angels are learning in heaven. Again, though, their perspective is different, their point of reference is different, and the implications are different. But yet, that's what it's all about. A major purpose of His plan is to teach in heaven. As we just read. Other texts indicate the same heavenly reality, by the way. Here's an example in 1 Peter. Go ahead and turn over there, if you got your Bible with you. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verses 10 to 12, we're going to read. And we're going to see this reference to angelic curiosity. Verse 10 begins by saying, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you." Now look close to that verse. It tells you that the prophets, like Jeremiah and Isaiah and Amos and all those, they prophesied of the grace that should come, but they didn't understand it.
Yeah.
It says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently." Why would you have to do that if you understood it? They spoke the words of God. "Thus saith the Lord." That doesn't mean they understood everything. And they didn't, because it says it right here. They inquired and searched diligently, even though they're the ones that prophesied of the grace that should come. Verse 11, "Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." They didn't understand, how's this going to work? And when's the Messiah coming? And what's this, you know, we prophesied of this glorious age that we know is the millennium. They didn't have an understanding of it, the glory that should follow. But look at verse 12. It begins by saying, "Unto whom it was revealed," there's that revelation again, "that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did what?" See, the angels are interactively involved in our world. "But unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel," watch this, "unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven," now read this with me, "which things the angels desire to look into." They desire to look into it, and Ephesians 3, where we were reading, says that God is revealing things to them.
Wow.
One of the things about angels that always kind of, I guess, bothered me is the right way of putting it. It's kind of, you ever have one of these things that's just kind of up there and you're thinking about it and you just can't put your thumb on it, but something. To find out that the angels are, it's just like we talk about ourselves. The world has this view of heaven. You die and then you... They picture you, some of the pictures, it looks like you're in a diaper, you know, and you're sitting on a cloud playing a harp. Well, you know, that's heaven. You know, I didn't get that from the Bible. Same thing's true with angels. Most of what you see about angels have nothing to do with God or the Bible, nothing they've told us about angels. Of course, we talked about in our song time the wings. No angels with wings in the Bible. There are angelic beings with wings called cherub, and so we know, and then there's that stork lady.
Yeah.
Is that Zechariah?
Amen.
But not angels are never said to have wings. And Jesus told us that they don't get married and they don't procreate. So we know some things from the Bible about angels. How many of you have seen angels that look like something out of Victoria's Secret? He said, "Wait a minute, preacher, how do you know about Victoria's Secret?"
Oh, well.
And say, "It ain't because I go there to shop. I'm going to just tell you that. But this stuff is everywhere. And you can't even watch sports anymore without popping that stuff."
Yeah.
But that now you see these paintings and things of angels, and that's what they look like. These quote-unquote sexy, female-looking, you know, long, flowing hair, beautiful, even with breasts and everything. Folks, there's not an angel in the Bible that looks anything like that.
Amen.
They're always said to be called by those who saw them and observed them, called them men. Never referred to a female angel.
Amen.
And so we know they didn't have, you know, need brawls. Yeah, I'm trying to be, truth about this, but that we're all adults, are old enough. Joseph's old enough to hear this. Amen, Brother Jason. And you know, when you see these really sensual looking things, that's a tool of the devil.
Amen.
That's to attract you into something that is counterfeit.
Amen.
That's to get you. You know what they want you to do next? After you get, because I've seen it happen. I won't name names or anything. I try to be careful not to be too, because I don't know if they're still like this. But there's a lady, I love this woman, but she would not listen. And she got into this angel stuff. Next thing you know, her whole house is filled with these, what looked to me like devils, but they were all these beautiful female-looking angels all over her house. Pictures, little trinkets, little look like idols all over her house. Well, next thing I heard is she'd totally left the Christian church.
Wow.
And getting into the New Age, because that's the next step. It is to then, once you fall in love with this false, this counterfeit idea of angels, next thing you want to do is you want to talk to them.
Wow.
Nothing we've said in our study says that you're supposed to say or do anything.
Amen.
Do you get that? Amen. God is teaching the angels in heaven, you're not supposed to talk to them and try to tell them anything or learn anything from angels.
That's right.
Remember what Paul said? He said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. So you come, angels have come in the form of what now? They'll see a big light. And sometimes they'll say it's Mary. Sometimes they'll say it's an angel. Sometimes they'll say it's a UFO, an alien.
Yeah.
They always contradict Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
They always say there's more than one way to heaven. We ought to just put down our divisions. Let's all hold hands and get along and have world peace. Because they're devils. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with wanting to learn everything God has to say about angels. What's wrong is when you refuse to submit your opinions to what God says. That's when you go into error. And how, what have we said over and over? Heresy begets heresy. And that's true about any... You write the topic down. If God has spoken on it and you will not submit your opinions to what God says, you're in heresy. And heresy begets heresy. And the less you will be corrected, the more incorrect you'll get. Amen, amen. 30 years. 30 years. And I've watched these people. And I've tried to talk to them. I've prayed for them. And they refuse to listen. They demand, they insist on falling flat on their face. It's only by the Spirit of God and repentance that people will change. Wow. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you just think about it. Which things the angels desire to look into? I just love that.
Mm-hmm.
Is it any wonder that some angels are called watchers? See? There's angels called watchers. Go over to Daniel 4 if you want to. You can mark it in your Bible. But first time I read, first few times I read this, I'm like, I wonder why they're called watchers. What is that? Well, then you come to find out, really, angels are watchers.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you heard this? The word angel from the Greek means messenger. You heard that? That's the way, first of all, the word angel does not mean messenger. Why do I know that? Because we don't submit our word definitions to Greek trash bins. And that's where they find a lot of these so-called definitions. They dig up scraps of papyrus in trash heaps in Greek-speaking ancient towns where they dig them up in archaeological digs. A lot of it's come from Egypt, by the way. And then they try to define Bible terms by the garbage they find. The Bible says you define terms by the Bible. The Bible is infallible, so you define your terms by the Bible. You want to know why the Webster's 1828 dictionary is better than any dictionary you'll find today?
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.